Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted that you're able to join me today. And we're going to be talking about not just mind power, but we're going to talk about body power today. Why? Because there is too much rhetoric about how you are just not capable of taking care of yourself. I was listening to a newscast just a short time before I came on air, and I thought, we have reached a point of appalling information coming out where people are expecting somebody else to take care of them, and by golly, they don't have to do anything. That's not the case. Personal responsibility is a big issue when it comes to your wellness. And my guest today, Dr. Jay Lipoff, is a man who has a passion for being a physician, but empowering the people that he serves so that they can enjoy the best of physical health. Welcome, Dr. Lipoff, to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
You're a man that has quite an interesting background. You graduated from Syracuse University in 1990 and from New York Chiropractic College in 1994. You're a member of, or you're an executive board member of the International Chiropractors Association Council on Fitness and Sports Health. You're a certified fitness trainer. You are on the East Coast in Maryland. You really have a passion for empowering people to be proactive in their lives, and it's refreshing to really hear a physician and to find out about your wonderful new book, Back at Your Best, Balancing the Demands of Life with the Needs of Your Body. Being upfront about what we can do, you had a personal experience of your own that really put you into a positioning of where you had to apply the adage, doctor, heal thyself. What's your story?
You know, the book could have almost been called that. It could have been the doctor, learn from my mistakes. You know, and I got into the profession and learning about helping yourself when my sister reached in the back of a car to get my mother's cigarette lighter at the time when she had smoked, and my sister had just picked strawberries for like 3 hours. And so then she got into this car and reached back. And so what happens is her back was already stressed out, the discs were stressed out, she reached back and the disc herniated, she lost feeling in both legs. Now, everything is fine, she's perfectly fine, there's a disc that's still there and she's been treated for years afterwards. But that was where I first started to learn about it. But and even my father was in a motor vehicle accident and was told to walk with two canes the rest of his life, and then he went to a chiropractor, and in 3 months he walked like you and I do. Mm-hmm. But I was 26, and I was actually treating patients at the time. I was picking up my dog that had three legs at the time because he had terrible cancer. And I just picked him up, and I put him on the couch, and I heard a little pop, and that was it. And I crawled for about 3 months, and I was getting treated consistently. And it was really because of all the things I had done in the past. You know, oh, I can lift this. Hey, jump on my back. I can carry it. I don't need any help. Oh, my hamstrings are tight. And all of that played a factor. And when I started to really do more exercises to sort of strengthen the back versus just what the girls can see in the front, the chest and the biceps, when I started to stretch the hamstrings, made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And I liked your statement, you can learn from your mistakes. And all of us dependent on whatever our environments have been. I mean, let's face it, people get busy, they get in a hurry. I know when I'm on the road traveling, sometimes I'm in airports for a long period of time. When you become aware of the fact you have to be mindful, you have to give yourself that number one positioning. You have to really be honest with yourself. How do you want to have a quality of life? Well, when we're sick, when we're in pain, that's not quality of life. Because that just takes up so much of our energy. And I really like the approach with your publication, because you're saying, let's look at what we can do to empower other people, because that's what you're about. That's you say that you treat your patients as if they were family. That's the way it was a long time ago. There used to be doctors that would visit people in their own homes and got to know the families, got to know the environment the people were in, and they took time to get to know their patients. Do you feel that this is something that more and more doctors are going to want to do?
Boy, I hope so, because I have patients constantly who say something to that effect, and even just a young lady yesterday said, you know, I went to this doctor and he had terrible bedside manner. He wasn't friendly like you are. And some of the things that I do is I will sit there, I'm going to listen, and I'll ask the questions I need and sort of direct us where we need to go, but I need to hear what you have to say, because what you have to say is a lot of good information to me, so I can build my case to understand what your diagnosis is, what I can help you change in your own life, and then hopefully come to a solution that will work for you. So, you know, listening to the patient and just taking time and having some empathy isn't that difficult, and isn't that why most of us got into the profession anyway?
Well, that's what I think would be a good reason to get into it. You have a quote by Thomas Edison, and I've heard this before, and I think it's worth repeating. The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his or her patients in the care of the human frame, in a proper diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease. And here we are today in an environment where, my goodness, there is so much going on in the healthcare industry. There are so many issues that are up. It is just such a mess. And I know that there is a personal member in my family that just almost died about a week ago, and the things that went on to make sure that they didn't, and the opportunities of utilizing new technology, et cetera, it made a difference. On the other hand, there is, in my observation, a lack of education, and that's what your book, Back at Your Best, is about. No matter what someone goes through, there is an opportunity for them to work with and rebuild the body and work from a point of nutrition as well as understanding the value of exercise. I loved your first sentence in your section where you say you've got a great body. The first sentence is, your body is a marvelously complex machine. The only word I'd add to that is living machine.
Right.
It is incredible.
It's extremely smart, and I just did an article for an internet paper, and I used a quote from Bernie Siegel, who I contacted to be allowed to use his quote because he's living. And his quote was, I'll always use all the tools at my command because all healing is scientific. And the article I wrote was about alternatives, and that is that no one doctor has the answer. Like, I'm happy to send people to the orthopedic, to the physical therapist, to the massage, acupuncture, reflexologist, neurosurgeon. I don't care who is on my team as long as I can get an answer and get that person some help. But to go back to what you were mentioning about, it's sort of what we call the facets of health. You have to eat right. You have to exercise. It's the most important thing other than stop smoking. Smoking is the number one cause of preventable death. So eating right, exercising, stretching, making sure your muscles and your spine works the way it's supposed to, and getting proper rest are really the basis for unbelievable health.
I agree. You have, I think, some of the coolest diagrams and photographs, because my goodness, I was visiting with a friend on a business trip just a week ago. She has had major, major back problems all of her life. She ended up getting a spinal surgery where her spine was fused, and she currently is working with a masseuse who is also working with her chiropractically. And the difference has been amazing. But she had a call from her daughter-in-law that was literally screaming on the phone, come over, help me, help me. This woman has got two little girls under the age of five. She was down on the floor doing something. She was trying to clean something. It's not unlike your sister. And all of a sudden, she goes to move. She was in extreme stress, and she's on all fours. And my friend goes home and finds her daughter-in-law. She finds her crying, these children screaming, they're terrified, their mother can't move, they're trying to make their mother move. This woman is literally paralyzed. They had to call a paramedic to take her to the hospital because her back had gone out.
You know what probably happens in that case, like my sister and like her, is there's something called fatigue failure, and that's the disc, the jelly donut that sits in between the bones of our spine. And when you press down on that disc, you force nutrients and fluids out. And when we move, that allows fluids to come in and out, bring nutrition in and out. But it's almost like you're putting your hands on the outside of a balloon and you're trying to blow it up, and you can't get any more air in. And what happens is the disc tires out. So then when you start to make that sudden movement or whatever, it fails. And that's why people need to take breaks. You know, if you're gardening or you're, you know, driving a long distance, every once in a while just stop, you know, get a coffee or get a water, get up, walk around. Just that movement will help sort of loosen things up and keep you going for the long haul.
I know. I try to use a timer when I'm sitting at the computer because I find that when I'm at the computer, invariably, even, and I've got pretty good posture, invariably I find my head is extended forward and my neck goes into almost like a freeze mode. And I'm so concentrating on the screen and what's there, and if I don't make myself mindfully present and moving, holy Moses, I can end up with a real challenge in the upper shoulders and in the neck.
I'll explain that. And I have a timer, too. It's usually my wife when she yells at me, hey, get off the computer. No. When you're looking at a computer screen, and even the kids these days playing the games and stuff, when you're sitting and your head goes forward, and this can happen in the car, at work, you know, it does, or reading, the neck curve, it slightly goes forward towards the throat, but then it comes back again. And when you start going forward, it straightens out. And what that does is it causes a ton of stress in your upper back muscles that are like a crane going, hold on, we've got this 10-pound head, we've got it. But for every inch forward your head goes, it doubles the weight of the head on the neck. So when you start sticking your head out like a chicken, you're putting a ton of stress not only on the discs in the neck, but also in the muscles in your upper back that are trying to hold your head upright. So take a sticky note, and you're going to put it on your screen that says, sit up straight. Just like your mom told you when you were little.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So many people suffer from headaches. And it's been my observation, a lot of them are stress-related. And some people, and I know, again, I'll talk about myself. If I have a lot of stress in the neck, in the upper shoulders, that will sometimes cause a headache. If I don't have the right pillow when I'm sleeping, if I'm, again, the stress in the body, a lot of this. And you have a section on headaches in your book, Back at Your Best. Tell us about the headaches.
Well, headaches are, I mean, it's common. I think 95% of women and 90% of men will have a headache at some point in your life, so everybody get ready. And some of that will be caused by the neck and the muscles, and actually it's the best reproducible headache in studies is that some that come from the bones and the muscles of their neck. So with forward head carriage, like when you were just talking about being at the computer or sleeping, these are great instances to cause a headache down the road, or if you've been in sports injuries or motor vehicle accidents and you know the car doesn't repair itself and it weighs 3,000 pounds, the soft tissue body that weighs 150 sure as heck isn't going to repair itself either. And the problem is if you don't see it, you think it's okay. So that's another avenue to have a neck and muscle problem that will lead to these headaches. So correcting the muscle balance or reducing the stress can stop headaches. Actually, trigger points or knots in muscles that can refer pain up around the ears, almost like a coat hanger. Some can reproduce pain right over the eyes. And I know that if I get a headache, that's where it is. It's in the, what's called the suboccipital region or the muscles just at the base of the back of my skull. So there's, and the reason I got into this profession really was for my sister having headaches. She had headaches, and she had MRIs, CAT scans, medication. Nobody could figure it out, and she went to the old school chiropractor in our town. And 6 treatments later, she never had headaches again. And I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. I'm going to go check that out. And that's when I really started to get interested in chiropractic. And headaches are actually my favorite thing to treat because most people don't turn over that stone of maybe it's muscle imbalance, maybe it's stress, maybe it's a skeletal issue. Let's just, you know, medicate it and stop the symptom of the pain, but we never really figure out why the headache is there.
Right.
And so it's a different approach.
Well, I know chiropractic has come a long way and being accepted as part of therapy. There's a lot of misinformation about it, and I know that there's extensive education that goes on with chiropractic, but there is that sensitivity. Once you become aware of that and you can work with people, I mean, I don't typically go to chiropractors, but I remember one time when I did, and I was under a lot of stress, and I bent over to put my shoes on, and no, I was laying down, and I moved, and it's like certain parts of my body didn't move the way they're supposed to, because I was under so much stress. And I was in excruciating pain, and I was adjusted, and it was a combination of things that were going on, emotional, mental, and physical, that had put me into that situation. And once it was rectified, I never had a problem again. And I think that that's very important. There's a balance here. And chiropractic is very, very useful. It's benefited millions of people. But as you say, it's a part of the package. And I like your statement that many people, most people, have physiological problems today because they haven't taken care of themselves. And they don't realize that the chassis they're occupying is a living machine. And we've got to take care of it. We have to take care of it. I mean, if our cars, if we don't take care of our cars and do it, then they're going to break down. And that's the same with the human body.
You're taking my analogy. I was just going to use, there's a one of the quotes I have in there, and I'm not going to get it exact today, but I mentioned to people, imagine if you took this kind of care of your body that you do when you have your nice sports car, and you take the, doesn't matter how much gas is, you still want that 98, 97, you know, octane gas in your car because you know it runs better and it's good for it, and then you go to McDonald's. Like, which vehicle is more important here? Which one do you want to last for 85, 90 years? The metal one or the one that you're in? And so it really is, you know, what you put in is what you're going to get out of this thing. So treating it with respect can make a huge difference down the road.
One of the things I really like about your book are the photographs that you have in it that really give a visual of maybe something that a person might be affected by, and that visual is going to enable them to understand what's going on in their body. You talk with scoliosis. You bring this up. One of the points you bring out is a magnesium deficiency. Often when a mother is pregnant, she's not aware that she has a magnesium deficiency. Vitamin K is something that's very important. Now, there's a lot of these things that we can get from food, but supplementation is important. And so many things are not addressed in the environment. We'll talk about it, but people don't realize that magnesium is something that's vital to prevent cramps in the legs, and it was thought potassium is it, but a lot of people, it's magnesium.
Yeah, and supplements are exactly what you're talking about, and I mentioned it a couple times, I make jokes that you can't take supplements and any ding-dongs and ho-hos. You know, a supplement is to sort of pick up the slack of your diet, to sort of fill in the missing spaces, that way it completes the puzzle of nutrition, and you know, whatever you don't need, your body will excrete. You don't have to overdose on it, and you can use it in moderation. And, you know, if you're vitamin D deficient, like I found out I was because I'm in an office all day, and then I come out and it's dark, and I don't get any sunlight, I had to supplement with vitamin D. And, you know, you don't have to take 10,000 units at once. You could take 5 in the morning and 5 at night and sort of slowly let your body catch up to where it should be, and that worked well for me. But nutrition is, you know, it's like exercise. It really is important to help the body stay healthy. And one of the other things that I mentioned about the scoliosis was that there was some research out. They were trying to figure out why women in the teens have more scoliosis than boys. And really, there's only one thing that's happening different at 13 between boys and girls, and that's menstruation. So the thought process was that with the loss of blood, they're losing all these vital nutrients to help keep the spine healthy. So some of the recommendations were to make sure that your kid is on some kind of multivitamin to maybe pick up the gap or fill in that void there to see if that can offset the curvature.
Right, and it's vitally important. And, of course, exercise is important. Women need to have this. Men do, too. But for women, it keeps, it really helps them get through a lot of issues. So it's never just one item. There's no magic pill here. There's no magic wand that's just going to make things easy. We do have to take responsibility. And if we don't, then when we get older, we're going to have some major problems. I want you to talk about this section in your book, we'll hear the term a slipped disk. That, you know, this type of thing. And you say, there's no such thing as a slipped disk. What is what people are describing as a slipped disk? Why is this not the right term?
I don't know where it came from, but when I was in school, we were taught that the disk is firmly attached to the vertebrae above and the vertebrae below. So it doesn't just, like, slide in and out. You don't squeeze it. It's not like a pumpkin seed. You squeeze it and it just pops out of your fingers. And there's ligaments and there's tendons that are all around this unit of vertebrae and disc that hold it in that position. And the only problem, of course, is when you put too much pressure on it and the jelly inside pushes outward and then it bulges backwards. So a slip disc, I don't know what the association is supposed to be, but there are disc bulges and disc herniations. And bulges when the disc sort of pushes backwards into the spinal canal, and then it can irritate the spinal cord or the nerves that are trying to send information to either your arms or your legs or anywhere else in your body. And there's also a herniation, and that's where the disc actually tears and the jelly inside starts to seep out. So the slip disc is one thing, but the real terms are herniated discs and disc bulges and things like that.
Now, is there something that can be put into that herniated section? I was talking with a client last week on my business trip, and they had heard of something that literally could be injected in so that the reconstitution of that gel-like substance can occur. Does the body, is that something that's real where that is possible?
I'm going to touch on one thing just before that. You'd mentioned the pictures, and, you know, I'm a picture guy. Like, I don't like to read. I fall asleep in three sentences, or I'm thinking about something else. But the pictures do really bring home the picture of the disc bulge. And I always tell patients, of course, try all options you can before surgery, because surgery, once it's done, then everybody else is limited. And the longer you wait, the better the technology is. And I always thought, well, why don't they just have this, like, tube of caulk, and they stick it in there, and they go, and they put it in there, and it seals up and it, you know, fixes the disc. They've come a long ways in repairing the disc, and by no means am I a surgeon. A neurosurgeon is probably the best to talk about the latest breakthroughs, but they can do cortisone shots and stuff to try to take away inflammation in that area. They can go in through the back in what's called a laminectomy, and they can scrape off part of the disc and shave it away from hitting any of the nerves. They can also do disc replacements and disc fusions. I've been in the surgery room with a neurosurgeon when we did a disc replacement. And they're basically scoop out the disc, put in bone and a spacer into there, and then they put a bracket onto the disc to secure it to the next one. But the problem there is once you take two movable segments and make it one, it's going to cause more stress above and below that in order to provide the motion you're used to. And inevitably, you're going to wear down another disc above it. So trying to take care of your body really makes sense. Trying to every other option before going to surgery also makes sense. I know that they have something called kyphoplasty, which is they put a balloon and blow cement into the vertebrae for somebody who's osteoporotic, and the vertebrae just collapses, and so they blow this balloon up, and it gives you that height back, and then it instantly is cemented. But I wouldn't doubt that they're coming up with something to try to put in there and put some more goop back in the middle and try to seal off the what's called the annular fibers at the outside of the disc, you know. There are great doctors out there, and research is just pushing us forward. Mm-hmm. So do everything you can to wait before you do surgery if it's not affecting, like, muscle strength or reflexes and you don't have something serious.
You bring up also a number of different items, and with our time remaining, I'd love to talk about it. The abdominal aortic aneurysm. Now, aneurysms, there seems to be more and more that we're hearing about this. And I think, again, that has to do with the fact that the Internet, people are communicating more openly about various things. But aneurysms are a major problem, and they can occur in the brain. They can occur any part of the body. I found the statement you made fascinating, that most aneurysms occur from the stomach region down towards the feet. And I know people that have heart problems, this is something that can occur. How is it determined that it originates generally in the stomach? What is it that the stomach does to create these that affect the body?
What happens is, like, if I take an x-ray of anybody as we age, you'll see more calcification in what's called the abdominal aorta, and that's the blood flow that's headed down towards the legs and then bifurcates or separates and then brings the blood down to the legs. And that calcium, if there's too much calcium deposited in there, it's sort of like taking a hose and trying to turn on the water, and the hose is no longer flexible. It becomes rigid. And with more rigidity and not allowing any flexibility in that or movement, you can start to get bulging outwards and pockets where it sticks out. That's the aneurysm. That's the danger, and it can mimic the low back pain. To get rid of the calcium in your body, you could always talk to your medical doctor and have blood work done. Make sure you're not secreting extra calcium with maybe a hyperparathyroid problem, or make sure that your cholesterol levels are good and you're not depositing extra plaquing and stuff in certain areas. You can get an ultrasound. But when you're older and maybe you haven't exercised regularly, or if you've got genetic predispositions to cholesterol level problems or heart problems in the family, getting an ultrasound or getting an x-ray of the lower back to look at the stomach area, when I say stomach, I mean abdomen area, not like the stomach itself, just to make sure that that is not a cause of something, because if that ruptures, your time frame is really short to get to the doctor and get that to stop bleeding. So it's just an issue that some people think, oh, it's just back pain, doc, just throw me on the table. I'm like, hold on, you got about 40 pounds around the midsection. Doesn't look like you've walked much further than the McDonald's. So let's maybe get an x-ray and evaluate this a little further. And I take blood pressures and make sure they see their medical doctor as well.
Mm-hmm. Your book is just fascinating. So many things that people deal with on a regular basis, bunions and calluses. You have a marvelous section on the feet. You have talked about torn meniscus. You talk about bursitis, hip problems. That is something that is evolving more and more. Of course, as people get older, sometimes it happens. But my goodness, there are young people that are suffering from hip problems, tendonitis. You have information on carpal tunnel. I mean, this is a huge, huge component that people deal with. And I know of a woman that had surgery on both of her wrists, and she's getting a resurgence of it. She is a checker in a grocery store. And my goodness, I go, wow, because it's a repetitive movement that she goes through. We have computers. People are on keyboards. All of this stuff affects us. You go into so much of this. It's wonderful information, and it empowers people to take care of themselves. I really think your book, Back at Your Best, is so loaded with information. Tennis elbow, information on cysts, rotator cuff. I mean, any of these elements, and then you go into exercise and various things that people can do. But your information is just wonderful. Now, Dr. Lipoff, I know you have two websites. One is backatyourbest.com, which is the title of your book, backatyourbest.com. Also, you have BAYB.com. That's an abbreviation for backatyourbest.com, BAYB.com. What are they going to find on your website?
The website with the book specifically is actually BAYBbook.com. I don't know why I did. Oh, probably because the other one was taken. On my website, you'll find stuff about the office, but you'll also have a link to the book, which would send you to Amazon. And then on my own website, it just gives you a couple of brief summaries of some of the stuff in the book, the introduction about how I got into this, how I wrote the book, why I wrote the book, just little things like that to sort of maybe entice you to think, you know, there are things I could do, and this guy's actually looking to help me. Let me take a look and see if there's something in here for me. And when you look at the back of the book, the end of it, where it talks about the best ways to sleep, put your pillow, vacuum, pick up the kids, pick up the clean the dishes, rake, you know, the list goes on and on of the common chores we all do, that there isn't anybody that can't benefit. I had somebody who said, I was going to get your book. I'm trying to think of somebody I can get it for. And I thought, you know, are they breathing? Because if they're breathing, I know there's something in here that might help them.
Absolutely, absolutely. You even go into the aspect of drugs, how they affect the body, so on and so forth. It's just a marvelous, marvelous book, and it's written in a layperson's language. For those of you listening, why not take your power? Stop waiting for someone else to tell you what to do, how to do, when to do it. Take back your power as an individual. Employ your best talents in being healthy. It's up to you. There's no magic here. It is good common sense. Back at Your Best by Dr. J. Lipoff, L-I-P-O-F-F, is the spelling of his last name. Go to his website, backatyourbest.com, or baybbook.com, and you'll find some wonderful information. It is just loaded. It's really good and easy to read. Dr. Lipoff, thank you so much for being my guest today. For those of you listening, this is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment, so delighted you've been able to join us. When we come back, more good things to share. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm so glad you're able to join me today. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I have a delightful story to share with you. Delightful, maybe that's not quite the right word to use, but I thought, the unusual, the bizarre. What can happen in a million years that would just blow your mind? Well, what if you were sitting somewhere and you were getting your hair trimmed, but you weren't in the barbershop or the hair salon? Aha, let me share a story with you. It's a story about the invisible hair snippers. By the way, I don't want any of this in my house, and I'm sure you don't want it in yours. Now, this took place in 1876, the month of May. It was written up in the North China Herald. And this was occurring in Nanking, Shanghai, and Hangzhou, China. Yes, very unusual paranormal activity. Apparently, there were invisible assailants who were cutting pigtails off of the local population. Now, for those of you that are unaware of Chinese history, it used to be the status of hair having long pigtails. And this, it was a dishonorable thing to cut pigtails off. This was an insult. It was really very, very bad in the Chinese culture. Well, this is what was happening. And this is a quote from an actual article. Many Chinamen have lost their tails, and we can hardly admit that the imaginary sprites are real men with steel shears, for it could hardly happen that someone would not have been detected before this in the act of cutting. The most likely explanation is that agents, whoever they may be, operate by some means of potent acid. Well, people, when they read this in their local newspaper, really started panicking. The people with the long pigtails, primarily the men, were hanging their pigtails over the shoulders so that they could clutch them. Remember, this was a status symbol in their society at that time. And they had people that were selling them charms and giving them incantations. And there were even soldiers that were stationed around the city in hopes of stopping this unseen epidemic. Now, the first recorded incidents of invisible hair snippers took place in A.D. 477 and 517 during the Wei Dynasty. Now, in 1922, we're moving up in London, England. Young women were walking down the streets, and there was a man who was grabbed them, chopped off their hair, and then disappeared right in front of them. And in 1889, in Brockville, Canada, a little girl felt her long braid suddenly pulled, and she cried out, and they found the braid hanging by a few hairs from her head. Again, an invisible snipper. And that very same day that that little girl had her braid cut, there was a little boy that felt his hair, which was long. Traditionally, that's what women did with the little boys. In fact, they even dressed the little boys and girls. Let's see, what we call little girly outfits. And the mother watched it as it happened. The boy's hair was pulled and then snipped. She saw it being cut off in chunks. There's other recorded instances where a woman who had a lock of hair singed off in a perfectly straight line 2 mornings in a row. One of the curls reappeared that was singed off days later on her bedside table. A little interesting incident. And another one, a young girl was standing beside her mother and her hair was cut off in clumps and the hair vanished as it was snipped. Bishop Pike, who attained a great deal of notoriety, and I forget when it was, he wrote a book called The Other Side. Bishop Pike was very high in a church. I'm trying to think on what the name of the church was at the moment. It's escaping me. But after his son died, they had gone back into the apartment that they had lived in. This was in London, and this was in the 60s or 70s. And they had gone back into the apartment Bishop Pike would rent when he would go in to London to take care of things. He was a very, very famous man. And his son had died a short time before. His son had actually committed suicide. And the secretary, her bangs were singed. And it was the son trying to communicate with the father. They'd find postcards all over the place. Interesting stories. Fascinating stuff, and it makes you wonder, how'd they do it? How was it that this was manifested? How does that energy from one dimension into another create the shift? So these stories go all the way back a great long period in history. Nana Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. If you're first-time listening to the show, I'm so delighted you're with us today. The telephone number toll-free that you can call in to have a reading on the air is 888-627-6008. I wanted to share something with you that I just became acquainted with, in the last few months. It's called kombucha or kargasuk mushroom tea. Now, maybe some of you know about this, and you can go on the internet, and Wikipedia has quite an extensive article on it, and it's under mushroom tea. Now, this is something that's been around for centuries. In fact, the first recorded use of kombucha tea was during the Chinese Empire of the Sin Dynasty in 221 BC. So it's been around for a bit of time. And it was written about, and it was called the elixir for immortality, or the divine chi. And they said, if you take this, you're going to have excellent health, and you're going to have eternal youth. Well, how I became aware of this was through a friend of mine who, upon hearing about a member of my family that had very serious health issues, said, this kombucha tea made such a difference in his life, and he's been taking it for 19 years. His hair is very, very strong. He's a man in his 60s, and he said, I can tell you that before I started doing this, my physician was telling me how bad my health was, and he went on and on and on. So he said, I found out about this in my research. Again, this was 19, 20 years ago. And he said, I've included it in my everyday diet, and it has really made a difference. And it's a fascinating thing. He said when it was in 414 A.D., Dr. Kombu, he was Korean, he was a healer, he introduced it into Japan during the reign of Emperor Inkyo. And after that, I mean, it just became very popular throughout the Asian community and later was introduced into Russia and then India. Now, this is what it is. It's called the kombucha mushroom. It's a thick gelatinous skin that is a symbiosis of yeast cells and various bacteria. And they've got names a mile long that I'm not going to try to go into. Now, what happens with this? It's a fermented product. It creates glucuronic acid, elastic acid, acetic acid, and a lot of B vitamins, including B1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 9, 12, and 15. All of those B vitamins it creates. It takes the tea and sugar that is its base, converts it into enzymes that are very good for the body. The particular acids that it puts into effect build important polysaccharides, including other acids which are vital for connective tissue. It has an assistance for cartilage and eye tissue, and there's colon benefits from it. It is a natural antibiotic, antiviral, inhibits the growth of candida yeast, and it goes on and on and on. So I wanted to share this with you. It just has so many good points. And my friend, John, who introduced me to it, said it thickens the hair, restores its original color, removes age spots from the hands and face, causes reduction in wrinkles. It can be used as a moisturizer for the skin. And the biggest benefit that he found, without changing his diet, was that his cholesterol dropped, which was at 300 for him, to 200 within 6 months. And he said his HDL is at 69. He has not had a problem. His doctor was amazed. He wanted to know what John was doing, and John told him. Now, this is what you have to do to create it. You need to have a growing bowl, and what I went to Bed and Bath, and they have these big, big glass jars. Cost you about $20, and you put it in there. The glass jars have these metal tops, but you don't use the metal top. You just put that away for storage. But you use the glass container, and you will... you need about a 5-quart glass of ceramic bowl. This is not to come in contact with metal. And the top, the opening at the top, needs to be about the size of the dinner plate. My opening at the top of my container is about the size of a salad plate. And that doesn't make any difference, whatever you work. Now, you bring 4 quarts of water mixed with 1.5 to 1.75 cups of white sugar. You don't use any other kind of sugar. You use white sugar. And you want to boil this combination together. And they say you should boil it in a glass container. Well, you can't find glass containers that you can put on top of the stove to bring it a boil. So John said it didn't make any difference when you boiled it in a stainless steel container, which is fine. That's what you do. Now, it's very important you do not touch your starter, your mushroom tea starter, with metal under any conditions, and that is because of the acidity. And you don't want to, you just want to be careful with that. So what happens is this phenomenon, absolutely wonderful. Now, you can order this on the Internet. You can get a starter on the Internet. John gave me a starter that he had grown. And you put it in there, and before your eyes, you find that this life form, that's how I would describe it, comes together and starts giving birth to all of this life-giving energy right there. and you cover your glass container that you put the cooled tea into, the sugar tea mixture, and you add your starter. It is amazing to watch. Absolutely incredible. When we come back, I'll give you a little bit more information on it. But it's kombucha tea, the mushroom tea. We're taking a break for just a minute. If you want to chat with me, give me a call at 888-627-6008. And more good things to share with you. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Quickly, I just want to finish up what I was saying about the kombucha tea. I encourage you to check it out. The tea has to be filtered. You can get all of the information on this. But if nothing else, I think it is amazing to see something that can be very nutritionally beneficial for you. And it's a part of my diet, and I think it is, I'm so grateful to John for introducing me to it. And I've talked with people that are involved with Chinese medicine, and they said, oh, yes, we're aware of this. It really is fascinating stuff, so explore it if you want. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Rebecca Fannin. Her book is called Startup Asia. Now, for those of you that have an interest in what's going on internationally, China and India, of course, have populations that are just of a phenomenal size. And with education and with opportunity of opening up to private enterprise in a way that they did not have access to a few years back, it has been fascinating what has evolved. And Rebecca has been a guest on my show before, and she is involved. She works with Forbes. She works with so many different publications in keeping things up to date. So we're going to be talking about China and India tomorrow and so much more. And by the way, if you want to find out about the upcoming guests, all you have to do is go into the show information section on bbsradio.com, The Donna Siebel Show, and check it out. You'll see those listings of guests. And I think you will find it interesting, the diversity that we have on the show. And share it with your friends. Tell them about the new time that we've begun at 9 a.m. in the morning. Also, I want to mention for those of you in the state of Washington, day after tomorrow, I am going to be presenting a class on flower readings. This is going to be done at the Ascension Into Light Foundation. The fee is $25. This is a lot of fun. Go into my website, Delphi International. You'll find all the details on the location. You'll also find the details on what you need to bring to the class. It is fabulous. I haven't done this for a number of years, and I just love it. This is just a lot of fun. So check it out. And if you need more information, call me directly at my office, 253-582-5604. A little bit of trivia here. Male and female brains react differently to dehydration, mild dehydration. In studies that have been done, men become less alert and they have struggles with memory tasks. How women experience it, they get fatigued, they get more tense, and have a lot more anxiety than men do. So again, taking care of yourself, the focus today is on wellness. And I thought in talking about wellness, understand it is with every form of life. And I came across this article, and I just had to share it with you. It's about rodents. Most of us, whenever we find that we've been invaded by rats or mice, we're not too happy about it. Well, for a long, long time, it has been said that rats are extremely intelligent. That's why they're used for so many experiments and tests, because they are able to recognize and perform in ways that many other species cannot. Well, some research came up that said now if you call somebody a rat, that actually may be a compliment. Oh, that's a big mind change. There was a study published on this in the December 9th, 2011 issue of Science. They are finding that rats are very selfless. Interesting. There was a University of Chicago neuroscientist, Peggy Mason, and some psychologists that joined her in this study, Ben Ami Bartal and Jean Vecetti. They decided they were going to find out, do rats, you know, rats really think about things? And they had one rat. They placed pairs of rats in pens. One rat was caged in the middle of the pen, whereas the other was free to run around. Now, in this experience, they found 23 of 30 rats liberated their peers by headbutting the cage door or leaning against the door until it tipped over. The thinking process. They wanted to get their friend out of the trap. Now, they wanted to do further tests, so one of the scientists placed rats in pens with two cages. In one was another rat, in another was a pile of chocolate chips. Now, the rats that were not caged up could easily have eaten all of the chocolate themselves. Instead, most of the rodents opened both cages and shared the chocolate with their fellow rats. And the one scientist, Mason, said, in rat land, that's something really, really big, because it's the first study showing the altruistic behavior in rodents. Now, there was another psychologist that, upon reading about some of the research that Mason was doing, said that he was so impressed, but they said, well, the rats might only be trying to silence their cohort's distressing alarm calls. But Mason said, I don't think so. What happened, they did another study, and that said it's changing the way scientists are thinking about empathy and altruism, namely that such characteristics are not limited to people. Amazing. Anybody who's been around animals, I think they figured that out a long time ago. They say animals have evolved instincts to help others, even at a cost to themselves, just as human beings have. Helping others seems to be built in to their biology as well as human biology. Do you think? My goodness, I've had so many people on my show that have dealt with animals. We've seen dogs in the wild, wolves. They will supply food to those that need it. I mean, this is to their own species. I mean, this is just really amazing. I've seen the demonstration in the bird world and every form of life. Guess what? I think science is finally catching up with a lot of things that most of us already knew, especially those of us that have been involved with animals. Well, this is Donna Siebel. I know we're just about out of time. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. If you want to find out about what's going on in China and India, what's happening in the super world of technology? Well, join me tomorrow. And Rebecca Fannin will be able to share a lot of that with us. Good stuff, good information. And we're always delighted to share it with you, our listening audience. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul and your body. Take charge. Don't buy in that others know best what's for you. Take charge of yourself, your life, and live it with a zest that only you can know and enjoy. It's up to you. Take charge. This is Donna. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.